You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
July gone in a week. Cool day yesterday on All Marine Radio. The man known as Chaos. By the way, he doesn't mind that call sign either. If you haven't listened to it, the interview with Gerald Mattis, part of the Thoughts on Discipline series that we're doing, is on the podcast page, is on the On Discipline page, it's on the Thoughts on Discipline page. Actually, I rearranged the menu of the website. So if you go there now, you'll see some different stuff. You'll see kind of the big three things that people enjoy about All Marine Radio, and that is the Battlefield Studies, the Thoughts on Discipline series, and Post-Traumatic Wing. So, you'll find that interview there. If you haven't listened to them, I would recommend that listen to all the interviews in that series. And I would tell you, if you're somebody who is in the business of leadership, make your subordinates listen to them. First of all, if they're interested in leadership and they're leaders, which they ought to be, these guys did a lot of it in their life. These guys done a lot of it too. And you hear the whys behind, what they do. And like, all right, what are we going to discuss? There is no discussion when you hear them lay out what they lay out. And again, as matter-of-factly as they lay it out. So, and again, you can have people arguing about it, but let me introduce you to people that have done it for decades and done it very well and progressed to very high levels of either the service or the Department of Defense, and listen to what they have to say. And then go from there. And if you walk in their footsteps, guess what? If you do the things they do, you will you will more than likely be pretty successful at what you're doing. So very cool day. And then, you know, people that I know saw it on different platforms and reached out and said, hey, Mac, like, this is above average. What is up? And so I got a chance to talk to a whole bunch of friends last night that heard it and said, hey, that was awesome. I enjoyed the hell out of it. And how'd you get him to do it? And again, I said this yesterday, but he very much wanted to do it. And so it was cool. So, but I would encourage you. I mean, it's listening to smart people, listening to articulate people talk about those kind of issues is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And I can do it. I can do it all day. And so I don't know that people, you know, when you look at some of these issues, people who aren't in the business of leadership, I don't think look at them as the complex things that they are. But then when you hear somebody who's really smart and really articulate, you know, talk about, you know, why things have to be a certain way and the level of caring that goes into creating something really good, something that people ultimately would give their lives for, I think that's an art. That's an art form, and leaders that are in that business ought to be really interested in it. So anyway, yesterday all the way around, pretty fun to do. Today, we'll kind of continue along that theme. We haven't spoken to him in a couple months, but General Furness is going to join us. He released a document yesterday, and thought it was about time that I had him back on. So I asked him, and he said, yeah, I'll come on and talk about it. So this whole discussion about leadership, about discipline, got lit off by him as he talked about they were going to, 2nd Marine Division, going to do a discipline standout. So, and then this pretty incredible indignation happened. This indignation thing happened again, which now in retrospect, pretty interesting phenomenon, because it's never really existed because there wasn't social media to talk about things like the expeditious discharge, right? And so it's pretty interesting phenomenon to watch. So a leader of an organization in the Marine Corps, you know, makes a statement, says, we're going this way, boys and girls, and then the blowback in the media and on social media. Pretty interesting. However, most of the men and women that operate in those positions are not distracted by social media or the media in general. And if they believe they're right, most of them have 30 plus years of doing it, and their actions aren't based on caprice. So anyway, you'll hear him today. And the other thing I'll engage him in is the second part of post-traumatic winning is what happens after the class gets given, and how Marines reach out, how they do counseling on a monthly basis. And so I'm going to ask him to walk us through that. First of all, explain how we're supposed to do it, and then and talk about the modifications and the emphasis that he's put on that, and that is getting to know them better. And General Mattis referred to it yesterday as, you know, you see units. Why is one so much better? Why does one company fight like a battalion? Why does one platoon fight like a company? Why do they fight bigger? Why are they so much better? And he said, you know, you go to those units and there is an affection that they have for the unit, for each other. And it comes about because of leaders who know them, leaders who push them, and leaders who make sure they're good. And there's this ferocious pride, and there's, as General Mattis calls it, there's this affection that gets created within the unit, and they will give their lives for it. And so, but that starts with, you've got to know them. And I'm going to play one of my favorite clips from the interview yesterday. And let me see if I can find it here real quick. Let's see. Okay, listen to this. This is pretty funny. We're talking about, what he's discussing is how you have to care about them in addition to having high standards and pushing them to meet them, those standards. The other thing you have to do is you have to love them. And so listen to this.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low-paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so, if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda anytime you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, CFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. Putting their lives on the line.
Yeah. Boom. And how do you care about them? I mean, you have to get to know them. And so that's what General Furness has kind of pushed. Not kind of. That's what he's pushed. That we've got to know them better than we probably have in the past. And so we'll talk to him about that. We'll have him. We'll get his thoughts. I mean, kind of the behind the scene. How do you do it? Which has been, you know, part of the success that they have had in fighting destructive behavior, in particular in fighting suicide. And so, you know, as we do this today, as this broadcast begins, you know, the 2nd Marine Division has had one suicide. And since that class has been given in January, and it's a record that he's pretty proud of, that I know they're proud of. And so how do you get to that? And the cool thing, and I said this Monday maybe, but you know, when I started doing post-traumatic winning, it was a theoretical proposition. I believe that. My experience is that, right? Things I know that I know people have done. Well, now I don't have to say that anymore. I can tell you with certainty that if you do these things, if you embrace this truth, if you teach this to your Marines, if you touch the lives of other people, and then if you do what they did in terms of counseling, that your numbers will look similar to theirs. I believe that. I know that. And so, anyway, we'll have him come on, and he's going to come on. And so we'll talk about those two things. So, anyway, so kind of the theme of the week continues. What else? Robert Mueller testifying this morning in a made-for-TV event. So, we'll see what the soundbite or the soundbites that win the day are, because that's what it's all about. All this is made for TV and part of the cavalcade that is American politics. Not sure it has a whole lot to do with getting after the truth, but it's the show that goes on, and so we'll consume it. So that's going on today. And then events in the Middle East, or not in the Middle East, in the Persian Gulf region, they continue to spool. And so we'll talk about that a little bit here in the first hour as we look at the news. As we look at the way the Brits now will either escort or whatever they do as nations look at that area and say, yeah, we need to do something. But you can only do something if you have a navy. So we'll talk about that. Also, now evidently, two drones were knocked out of the sky by a Marine Corps piece of technology last week. Not one. Which is kind of odd, right? Oops. It was really two, not one. What? Yeah. Dos, not uno. Did you not know that? Or, like, were you waiting to be asked a second question? Like, okay, we're talking about one. Was there two? Was there three? Was there four? No. Yes. So, yeah, so that's kind of odd that I found. So, anyway, that news coming out. So we'll talk about that. And the Pentagon has a new leader, which means Secretary Spencer can go back to running the Navy. So we'll talk about the news here in a minute. And this is dedicated to none other than, we have to open the show first. So, lest I get ahead of myself. So good morning to everybody. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official on this 24th day of July, 29th. And this is dedicated to none other than J.N. Mattis for coming on. Thank you very much, sir, for doing that. I know a lot of people already listened to it and have written me saying, holy shit, that was awesome. So, under the guise of holy shit, that was awesome, thank you very much.
We have fought. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
I think that little, the only reason I hung out in this, that low-paying outfit, that's got to find its way in there. That's pretty funny. Yeah, hey, General Mass, he's scared the shit out of you at times, but then he's also pretty funny. In a kind of scare the shit out of you kind of a way. All right, we'll check the weather around Marineland. It is currently partly cloudy in 80, Quantico, Virginia. It is cooled off on the East Coast considerably. It is partly cloudy in 75 at Camp Lejeune, where General Furness will join us from. Warmed up in California. It is sunny and 90 already out in 29 Palms. And in something that you don't see very often, it is sunny and 77 at Camp Pendleton. So that's very warm in the Southern California area. At Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy in 78, so cooled off in Hawaii a little bit. Okinawa about the same, dark cloudy in 81. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is 108 degrees in Ramadi, but it's a dry 108, so you got that going for you over there. And in the Helmand province, in the opium capital of Afghanistan, which is the area of Marja, it is clear, dark, and 98 degrees. When in the growing season, when you're up in helicopter and Osprey or whatever you're flying around in, as far as you can see is pink. Yeah, you see irrigation canals and you see the pink flower of the poppy. Yeah, pretty incredible. I guess it's not, considering the money that they, you know, farmers can add and subtract, all right? And it doesn't take a whole lot to grow that shit. Anyway, it is sunny and 74 in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California. Looking for a high of 88 degrees today. Now, my phone, though, says looking for a high of 81. Now, that's not a small difference. I'm not sure who's right. My phone says it's going to be 78 tomorrow, 77 on Friday, which I'm all right with. Right? On my desktop, it says 88 today, 84 tomorrow, and 83 on Friday. So, I hope my phone's right in this discussion of who's got better weather. So, don't touch that dial. We'll check news headlines coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be amazed of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah.
We had a problem last week in with the sound system, in that there was some kind of software adjustment that would boost the bass of Peyton's audio track, and so in order to accommodate that, because they couldn't find the setting, so it's not just like a board that you would see a mixer where you could, you know. There's the sliders that open the channel up and increase the volume, and then you slide it down and it shuts it off. And then the dials that you see above that slider, they control, right? The high end, the mid range, the low end, and all those different, you know, might be different intervals of that, right? So if you saw like 5 buttons, they would control a different segment of that. Dare I say, audio range. So, yeah, there was an automatic. So we had to turn the music down. But it was really cool watching her sing this. After I... with me singing, like, in the audience.
Jesus, and for once I'll forgive you. I swear I will mean it.
All right, to the news we go here on a Wednesday morning. Big day in the McNamara family today. Number 2 son comes home for a few days. So, pretty excited to go see, pick up Patrick, hang out with him. As we speak, he's flying here from the East Coast. Spent a few days with his mommy and his daddy and his sister. So, fired up about that. Yeah, so headed for LAX here in a little bit, which is always fun. Alright, news. Above the fold in Stars and Stripes. Headline, U.S. and Europe pursuing sharply different plans for patrols in the Persian Gulf. Now, again, my experience was that we had... in 1987 was, if you're old enough to remember, we reflagged Kuwaiti oil tankers under American flags, which gave the United States military right to defend them. And so that's how, you know, we got around what was going on in the Straits of Hormuz, or at least laid the legal framework for American escorts and things like that. And what we did was we had ships in the region, but there's too many ships going through to escort, be there for everyone. So what the Combat Air Patrol that we flew off the carrier that I was on, the USS Ranger, did was it monitored their activity in the region, and then the ships went to confront them, right? So you monitored their boats, you monitored where they were, monitored their tracks, and the Navy responded to that, which kept them at bay and ships flowing through the Straits of Hormuz. The flare-up in tensions here in the Persian Gulf over recent weeks has seen at least two tankers seized by Iranian forces while traversing the narrow Straits of Hormuz. The dispute threatens a choke point vital to the trade route for crude oil exports and could potentially lead to oil prices to spike. Amazing. I mean, back in the day, this would have caused that already, which threatens a global economy. Western powers are worried and have proposed plans to escort ships and monitor threats, but the waters are cloudy. Even after the plans have been announced, confusion surrounds which nations would be sending important resources like warships to the Persian Gulf. As tensions rise, the exact mandate remains uncertain, with two separate and possible competing plans, one led by the United States, one led by Europe, under discussion. Meanwhile, Iran has rejected the need for Western ships to patrol the waters along its southern coast, instead pledging to secure the Straits of Hormuz itself. Come on, that's the only thing missing from that is the rim shot, right? The prospect of warships patrolling the Persian Gulf is reminiscent of the tanker wars in the 1980s when the U.S. Navy escorted commercial vessels from Kuwait traversing the Straits of Hormuz due to attacks by tankers which were levied by both Iraq and Iran. But this time, with potentially multiple missions at once, the situation could be more fluid. The United States says it envisions a scheme where nations would protect ships carrying their flag, but there would be joint operations designed to carry out surveillance on the waterways. The plan, dubbed Operation Sentinel by the United States, has been under discussion for over a month. The United States has been working diligently to build out a maritime security initiative with a broad range of countries participating, that according to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. Now, I just want to... British officials have emphasized that their plan would be about ensuring freedom of navigation in the Persian Gulf, an aim Tehran could theoretically back as well. Come on, man. Did we just get stupid here? But Mark Dubowitz, the chief executive of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a group that often calls to isolate Iran, said that the European plan could ultimately count as a win for Trump. Quote, burden sharing from our allies gives them a stake in deterring and responding to aggression from the regime in Iran, he said. Since the majority of oil that moved through the Straits of Hormuz goes to Europe and Asia, these countries have a greater stake in preventing the aggression. Yet no nation has publicly pledged ships. So, anyway, and again, as always, we have the Germans out there, right? On Monday, German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas expressed public support for the British proposal on the condition that diplomatic channels remain open. France issued its own message of support on Tuesday. Quote, we are discussing with our UK and German partners, noticeably absent, right, the United States, and several other interested partners, a European initiative to increase our knowledge of the situation at sea with the deployment of appropriate surveillance. This is to facilitate the safe passage of ships in the area. As far as we are concerned, the initiative is intended to diffuse tensions and facilitate de-escalation, the statement said. It differs from the U.S. approach of maximum pressure. So, maritime publications such as Lloyd's List reported that a large, who does maritime shit all over the world, right? Reported that a large British ship had traversed through the Straits of Hormuz on Wednesday, shadowed by a British warship, the HMS Montrose. In a statement to the Associated Press, the ship's owner said they were, quote, grateful for the UK and the international community for their naval presence in the region. So, yeah, unless we have the Iranian Revolutionary Guard guarding the Strait of Hormuz, right, somebody better get some ships there. Now, you know, there's the typical, again, you know, one of the interesting, I think, things that we've talked about on the program is the absolute requirement for clickbait. If you're gonna make it in the world of multimedia broadcasting, right? You have to have clickbait. So there's stories, you know. Now, again, mind you, this is not the top. This is not the top story, but you know, the second story is a clickbait story because it's absolutely an irrelevant piece of information other than reading about some person being stupid. American with loaded gun and luggage is arrested at airport en route to new job at Okinawa base, police say. Right. So it's a story about a Seattle man. La 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 la. And he got a load of guns. Completely irrelevant to the world other than clickbait. So browsing through that. And then one other story. Drones watch every U.S. ship in the Gulf, the Iran chief of Navy said. And we talked about this yesterday as well. So from the United States Naval Institute News. This is kind of interesting. We talked about China's influence and how China attempts to influence American life and ultimately America's perception of China. Well, interestingly enough, the trailer for Top Gun came out, right? And so there's a question about why Maverick's jacket has changed. What? Yeah. So listen to this. Tom Cruise's jacket has been stripped of Taiwanese and Japanese patches, right? And so the story goes that his jacket got changed in order not to offend the Chinese. So there's pictures taken from the first movie, and you see his jacket. And now you see pictures for the second movie, and the flags of Taiwan and Japan have been removed. Story, and again, how now, was that a demand to the studio? Made by Chinese people that are interested, maybe investors in the movie. An easily overlooked detail of Maverick's leather jacket in Top Gun. The removal of his Japanese and Taiwanese patches. The adjustment is one of the latest in a series of changes made to Hollywood movies in order to appease Chinese entertainment watchdogs and appeal to Chinese audiences. How about that? So interesting little story. And gives you some indication of the muscle. And again, some of it's just capitalist, right? But some of it is Chinese interference in what I would say would be the intellectual expression that we might not allow your movie in if that is produced with those patches on it. What? So then it's not by choice. You'll do that again as they blackmail nations, right? with the access to all the billion people in their economy. A couple stories out of U.S. Naval Institute news. One, Mark Esper sworn in as the next Secretary of Defense. So congratulations to him. It was on a 90-8 vote yesterday. And he was sworn in yesterday during a ceremony in the Oval Office. So good luck. Everything I've seen that guy has been impressive. You know, when you watch hearings and he speaks, he's an articulate guy. He's a veteran of the United States Army. He's been a lobbyist, so he knows the business side of it as well. So we'll see. We'll see. Coast Guard is expanding its Western Pacific operations. Now, what does that mean? What is the Coast Guard doing in the Western Pacific? Well, the Coast Guard enforces, right, American legal moves in terms of prohibiting some items to go into nations like North Korea. United States Navy ships cannot detain, you know, cannot board, you know, they don't do that. So instead of the dateline says Kuala Lumpur, the U.S. Coast Guard will increase its presence and deployments to Asia, particularly around Oceania and U.S. Pacific territories, and test our new operational deployment concept in the region. Admiral Carl Schultz told reporters on Thursday, "My vision for the Coast Guard is to expand our permanent presence and effectiveness in the region through expeditionary capabilities, which is why we are doubling down on Oceania. In the next month, we'll deploy Coast Guard assets in a new operating concept to strengthen the community of island nations through Operation AIGA, A-I-G-A. That's Samoan for family. So you see the Coast Guard in the Western Pacific more and more and more. Schultz said that in the next 2 to 3 years, the Coast Guard will be homeporting 3 Sentinel-class fast-response cutters to Guam. The addition of these fast-response cutters will increase Coast Guard presence throughout the region. Our increased capability and capacity will allow for more frequent and longer patrols to protect the exclusive economic zone from illegal, unregulated, and unreported fishing and the threats that those activities bring against increasing drug trafficking threats in the region." So, Coast Guard out there. So, that in the news today. So, again, it is an expanded footprint. An expanded footprint in the Western Pacific, which, whether anybody believes it or not, is aimed at one country, China. And also, it's China's little brother, little nefarious brother, North Korea. All right. Top story in Marine Corps Times this morning, sending the MEF to war, why East Coast Marines are focusing on MEF-level warfighting. Get asked General Furness about that. Written by former Marine Todd South. Top brass within the ranks of East Coast-based Marines, which is 2nd Marine Expeditionary Force, has been looking for the past few years beyond the Marine Expeditionary Unit, which are the battalions, essentially, that get reinforced and float around the Mediterranean, move up to Norway at times, and have been looking towards what it would take to put the entire MEF, a Marine Corps division, into a fight in Europe. "It's a leap from how the Marine Corps has been operating in recent decades, where one of the largest units that has been sent to the theater when 1 MEF and the 2nd Marine Expeditionary Brigade landed in Kuwait for the 2003 invasion of Iraq. Since then, most rotations to combat zones have been essentially battalion size or smaller units. The 2 MEF commander, Lieutenant General Robert Hedlund, and some of his subordinate commanders spoke with Marine Corps Times recently to explain what motivated them to return to MEF-level warfighting and how that will change. 2MEF actually is now commanded by Brian Boudreau. So he's a CG of 2MEF now. So, interesting. To the Marines that have the 2nd Marine Expeditionary Force, most of their training and deployments might look similar to what they've been doing for years, but this time it will be at a higher level that Marine leaders will put the pieces of the force together and employ them across the Atlantic. It's a major shift in war fighting and a way to keep adversaries such as Russia always looking over its shoulder. The shift started soon after Hedlund took over TUMAF a couple years ago and took real effect in 2018 with the Trident Juncture exercise that took place in Norway. Before then, TUMAF would generate forces for the fight, but was not expected to go to war as a unit, he said. The exercise included more than 24 nations and an estimated 8,000 Marines participating. While that may seem substantial, equal to nearly 4 battalion-sized units, a little bit more than half of the 14,500 Marines that make up a MEB, and a fraction of the of approximately 40,000 that make up the MEB. So, bottom line is a larger Marine presence going forward in into Europe, and it comes out of Camp Lejeune. Interesting little story about the Marine Corps easing requirements about how to become squad leader. Yeah, that's an MOS now, for those of you who don't know. Seasoned and well-experienced enlisted grunt leaders will be pivotal to how the Marine Corps plans to fight and win should there be a war in the Pacific. But the Marine Corps has struggled to entice grunts to don the squad leader title. Now the Marine Corps is making some changes to how Marines earn the 0365 squad leader job by providing more flexibility and removing some barriers to entry, according to a July 17th force-wide message. Among the changes, Sergeant's course is no longer a requirement for obtaining the squad leader field job and no longer a component of the squad leader development program, according to the message, but Marines will still need to knock out the course for promotion to Staff Sergeant. The Corps is also taking away a 72-month lateral move option for the Squad Leader Development Program in an effort to provide a more sustainable path for Marines who opt to remain in the fighting force, in the operating force, while allowing Marines to pursue additional opportunities like serving as combat instructors, the message said. Marines who take part in the Squad Leader Development Program will have a commitment to remain and serve in the operational forces for no longer than 48 months. So, again, I think everybody who understands how, you know, no longer do you have a compass and maybe a radio, right? What we expect of junior leaders in as the world draws up this peer-to-peer fight, and is a lot. I mean, it's not that far removed from what we expect from our junior officers. And if you don't have a way to retain them, if you don't financially compensate them for staying, you're going to be faking it. So, and in this world that we envision, it's them being scattered and then being able to make decisions, be able to communicate those decisions and fight decisively, you know, with smaller units. And so if you want that, you got to pay for it. A story we followed, the guy who's supposed to be the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is an Air Force general by the name of John Hyten. He was accused here within the last month of sexually harassing a woman and to include sexual assault. The investigation that surrounded that could confirm none of it. So, yesterday, his accuser testified before the Senate Armed Service Committee. After one private presentation to the committee's leadership and a separate presentation to the full panel in recent days, Imhoff had said he did not think it was necessary to hear directly from Hayden's accuser. Quote, "I can't recall a better run and a more thorough investigation," Imhoff said on Tuesday. The accuser is reportedly an Army colonel with 28 years of service and a former subordinate of Hayden's. After she came forward in April, Air Force investigators found insufficient evidence to bring criminal charges against Hayden or to recommend administrative action. Exiting Tuesday's hearing, Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat, Illinois, said she found the woman to be credible and that the testimony raised new questions about the military investigation that cleared Hayden. She goes on, "I am pleased she was allowed to speak. I thought she conducted herself very professionally and she was very believable." Senator Richard Blumenthal, former Marine, "The survivor deserves respect and serious consideration, and I will have it very closely in mind. We will be hearing from General Hayden as well. It is imperative that we hear from both." A little bit more conciliatory. So anyway, we've been following that story for a while. And again, under the guise of, if you're accused, can you survive anything like that? And in this case, it's pretty interesting because the Air Force has said, hey, look, we've thoroughly investigated this. And we cannot substantiate it. And he has no other, you know, he has no other smirch on his record, you know, save for her coming forward. So it's been interesting to see how this is adjudicated. Now, not being quoted in the article of significance are two people, both running for president, right? Kirsten Gillibrand, Democratic Senator of New York, who's on the Senate Armed Service Committee, and Elizabeth Warren, Democratic Senator from Massachusetts. So neither one was quoted for the article, and both, right, are in national forums running for the presidency. So we'll see what they have to say. Interesting. Top five stories in early bird real quick. Number one, Mark Esper confirmed it's a new SecDef sworn in as of yesterday. U.S. Central Command now says it engaged two Iranian drones, not one. Which, like, what? Like, whatever this technology is, we love them. They're dropping out of the sky like flies. Officials have said the USS Boxer used an electronic jamming device on the ship, which happened to be a Marine vehicle, right, rather than fire any missiles. The Boxer, in a subsequent statement, said it also, quote-unquote, engaged by electronic means a second Iranian drone at the same time, but could not confirm that it was destroyed. So, there you have it. There you have the rest of the story. Number three, Afghans seek clarity to Trump's talk of wiping the country out. Yeah, like, are you kidding me? At some point, shut up already. Right? Come on. Anyway, I won't even bother with that. Number four, heightened accuser testifies in private before the Senate panel. We just talked about that. It'll be interesting to see again when the two heavyweights, female types in that committee, have something to say about it. And then number five, sending the Marine Expeditionary Force to war, why East Coast Marines are focusing on meth level war fighting. So we talked about as well. That as well. And then another couple operational little articles. One, U.S. and our Pacific allies are showing off their growing amphibious threat countermeasures during exercise Talisman Sabre. So this actually has been going on for years. But I think given what's gone on in the South China Sea, you see more and more nations taking a very, very serious look at amphibious operations and being able to project power, knowing that, you know, the Chinese may come to a theater near them. So anyway, interesting stuff. All right. We'll take a break. More Bomberman Radio coming up next, and we'll get General David Furness on the phone, and we'll get an update on something he just released. And I think he listened to the General Mattis interview. We'll get his thoughts on that. So don't touch that dial on a Wednesday. More Bomberman Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.